I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm honored for being able to rejoice with you at Hope BP Church's 34th anniversary. And I thank Pastor Key and the session for giving me the privilege to bring the Word of God to you. Now each time when I come to Hope BP Church, I feel like coming back home. I must say that this is a totally new experience for me to preach to quite an unusual setting due to social distancing measures being placed over coronavirus pandemic. However, I'm sure that many of you are joining us via live streaming broadcast and are rejoicing with us together as we celebrate this wonderful and blessed occasion. I would like to take this opportunity to thank God for all our servicemen and women in our nation, our doctors and nurses, which may well include some of you sitting at home watching through the live streaming, who have done a wonderful job during the COVID-19 pandemic crisis in treating and caring for some of those who needed medical assistance. Also, I thank God for our government, which has been responded to the pandemic in such an efficient manner. Otherwise, the situation could be a lot worse. And Lord willing, in a few weeks' time, as Elder Michael Lee mentioned in the prayer, I hope we'll all be able to come back to our churches once again to worship the Lord together. And my prayers are with those of you who have been affected by the coronavirus, whether economically or socially or mentally or emotionally. As we have read in the news that millions of people have lost their jobs, homes, and thousands have even lost their loved ones around the world. As to date, over 364,000 people around the world have perished. Sometimes I wonder how many of those have had the opportunity to hear the gospel before they perished into eternity. There are many things that we can give thanks to God for during the coronavirus crisis. Besides living in a relatively safe and economically stable nation like Australia, a roof over our head, being provided with daily needs, and able to enjoy fellowship with our loved ones and our families, above all, we should thank God for the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that as my introduction, my text for today begins with a word of thanksgiving from the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul almost always begins his letter with some word of thanksgiving. And in his letter to the Colossians is no exception. And as he begins his letter, he is especially thankful for the gospel. Since we're all here to celebrate God's goodness and faithfulness toward us on the Hope BP Church's anniversary, I want us to look at the gospel that we have in Christ Jesus and give thanks to God. For if not for the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would not even be here celebrating our church anniversary today. The gospel is the heart of the message about Christ, and indeed the theme of the entire Bible. The Old Testament prepares us for the message of the gospel. And the four gospels in the New Testament presents the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which are the heart of the gospel. And then the rest of the New Testament explains what the gospel means for us today. Since the gospel is at the center of the Bible, the gospel is the foundational message for any Christian who wants to live a blessed life. And Paul begins the letter with a prayer of thanks for the wonderful, amazing, glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So on this anniversary Thanksgiving service, I would like to consider three thoughts with you from Paul's prayer of thanksgiving for the gospel, and learn how we may also thank God for it. Number one, thank God for the work of the gospel in fellow believers. Now, Paul begins his prayer by thanking God for his fellow believers at Colossae. Look with me at verse 3. Paul says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. As I have already mentioned, Paul begins most of his letters with a word of thanksgiving and encouragement for the people to whom he is writing. And here he offers up genuine praise to God for what God is doing in his people. Now, how much of our prayer life is marked by thanksgiving to God for other believers and for what God is doing in their lives? Now, personally, I thank God for all the pastors who have been my mentors and my guides. And also thank God for all the brothers and sisters in Christ who have been my teachers. Chinese has a saying that goes like this: walking among three people, I find my teacher among them. I choose that which is good in them and follow it, and that which is bad and change it. Over the years, I have learned lessons which I could never have learned in my years of Bible college and seminaries. And I sincerely thank God for them in my prayer. Not only that, Paul's words are even more amazing when you remember that he had never even met the people at Colossae. And yet he still spends so much time praying and giving thanks for them. So Paul not only thanks God for the believers at Colossae, but he states a very specific reason why he thanks God for them. Look with me at verse 4. It says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints." So Paul thanked God for them for two things: their faith in Christ Jesus and their love for other saints. Notice Paul not only mentioned about their faith in Christ, but also what grew out of their relationship with Christ. That is, love for other saints. I think this is in itself a wonderful thought. You see, genuine faith in Christ leads naturally to love for other believers. We see that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, where Paul talks about faith which worketh by love. And one of the marks of true faith is our love for other believers. As we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, John says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I have had opportunity to serve the Lord in a few churches in Singapore, USA, and Australia. I can testify to you that it has been my privilege to serve as assistant pastor at Hope BP Church. For at Hope, we have some of the most loving and most forgiving people, despite of my own personal failures. This is another reason that I can give thanks for and with you on this day of anniversary. So keep it up, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Keep your love going, which grows out of your faith. Now, we spoke of faith and love. We spoke of love that grows out of faith. But where do faith and love come from? Paul says this faith and love come from hope, or hope of the gospel. Now this is why the word hope is such a wonderful name for a church. And look with me in verses 4 and 5. Paul says, thank God, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, in verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Now, in other words, Paul is saying that their faith and love come from hope which is laid up in heaven. Let me stress the importance of hope. Hope is a wonderful and powerful motivator. It motivates us for godly living, to be more like Christ. As one writer wrote, hoping God's future grace is a stronger motivation for godly living than simply gratitude for his blessings in the past. Yes, we Christians often look back to the cross of Christ, and we should, especially whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper. But we should also look forward. Therefore, it will be a good idea whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper, or when we partake of the Lord's Supper the next time, to look backward and forward. Backward at the cross, at what Jesus Christ has done for us, and at the same time we look forward to Christ's return. So please remember, faith and love come from hope, and hope comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we know, these three elements, faith, love, and hope, showed up often in Scripture, and there is a good reason for that. Because faith, love, and hope encapsulate how our Christian walk should be like, past, present, and future. As J.B. Lightfoot writes, faith rests on the past. Love works in the present. Hope looks to the future. And let's come back to hope. Paul says in verse 5 that this hope is laid up for you in heaven. Now the word translated to laid up can also mean to reserve. In other words, it is safely kept in heaven for you. Yes, COVID-19 pandemic may have rendered our economy into a recession. made millions jobless and thousands homeless. And I understand that some of you may be going through some tough time and some challenging times. But nothing will ever storm the gates of heaven and to take away our hope, which is stored and being kept safe in heaven. So first, Paul thanked God for his fellow believers, and he thanked God for their faith and love in Christ Jesus, which derives from hope. Now secondly, we thank God also for the work of the gospel around the world. Now why must we thank God for the work of the gospel around the world? Well, because the gospel is not just an individual matter or a local phenomenon. No, the gospel has global implications and impact. Likewise, Paul gives thanks to God because the gospel is bearing fruit and growing all over the world, at least in the known world of his day. Look at verse 6. It says, "The gospel is common to you as it is in all the world," or the known world, "and bringeth forth fruit. The gospel work is obviously not over. We need to share it with many more millions around the world who still have not heard the gospel. Now, I was so privileged to be able to join Elder Michael Lee and a few others to Cambodia this past January, and January toward end of January to February, to see the work of Reverend Son Sokka in Phnom Penh. I was given the opportunity to share the gospel with the villagers on two Saturdays and to the congregation on one Sunday. And it was a great blessing to be able to sow the seeds of the gospel, even in foreign lands like Cambodia. And God willing, I pray that hope and providence will have more opportunities to do mission works together to bring the gospel to all the world. And according to Paul in verse 6, the gospel does two things here. It bears fruit and it grows or spreads. Now, bearing fruit points more to the inward work of the gospel, while growing points more to the outward expansion. I like what Warren Wiersbe says about mission work. He says, I quote, The word of God is the only seed that can be planted anywhere in the world and bear fruit. Now, sometimes we may get discouraged when we don't see immediate result after we have sown the seed. Now, whether you are a preacher or pastor or evangelist or Sunday school teacher, or just trying to witness with your family or with your neighbor, we may sow the seed and even water it, but we must wait patiently for God to do the rest, to cause it to grow and to bear fruit. So we thank God for the gospel that is bearing fruit and growing all over the world. But exactly when did this happen? We understand that it is God who ultimately causes the growth. But when does it all begin? We will see that the gospel bears fruit when people hear and understand the gospel, and it all is truth. Look with me at the rest of verse 6 in Colossians chapter 1. As it, or the gospel, doth also in you, since today ye heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Now here Paul wants to remind and encourage the Colossians that the gospel, see, has been doing its work in them from the start. And they should wait patiently and keep growing grace. But when did this work of God's grace begin in them? According to verse 6, since two things took place in them, since they heard the gospel and also knew or understood the gospel. That's how it all began. Now, many people have heard the gospel, and that's good. But hearing the gospel and understanding the gospel are two different things. Because it is very possible to hear the gospel and yet still do not understand the gospel. Therefore, it is impossible to bear fruit. My friends, it is not until we hear the gospel and also understand the gospel of grace, then we can begin to bear fruit in our lives. Now you see, Paul wrote to the Colossians, and the problems with the Colossians in those days is the legalistic gospel. And it was a big problem. And there was a group of legalistic Jews in those days who taught that by grace alone and faith alone in Christ is not enough to be saved. They suggest that one must add works onto grace. Works like circumcision or observance of Mosaic laws. Those who accepted this kind of the gospel do not understand the gospel of grace, Paul mentioned. Therefore, will never bear fruit. Now, what is grace? Grace is the unconditional favor of God, whereby we are saved. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in the finished work of Christ Jesus on the cross. Not only that, by the same grace of God, Christ has also called us unto all good works and enabled us to bear fruits. And without God's grace, my dear friends, it is not possible for us to bear fruits. That is why Jesus said, "For without me, ye can do nothing." So thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the grace of God. And thank God for the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. So how can we thank God for the gospel? First, we thank God for the work of the gospel in fellow believers. And we thank God for ministers and fellow servants of Christ, in which you might be one of them. Second, we thank God for the work of the gospel around the world, which grows and bears fruit unto those who truly understood it. And third, we thank God for those who share the gospel with us. Paul reminds that everyone learns the gospel from someone. Look with me in verse 7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister in Christ. Epaphras, mentioned in this verse, was one of Paul's fellow servants or fellow workers. He probably came to faith under Paul's preaching. He was from the town of Colossae. And we learn from this verse that Epaphras was the one who first shared the gospel to the Colossians. And that is so wonderful to know. Now this brother was so dear to Paul, so much so that Paul calls him our dear fellow servant. Why? Because Epaphras shared with Paul in his work of the gospel. Now, Paul had a strong sense of partnership with those whom he ministered with or together for the gospel, not only with Epaphras, but also with Barnabas, if you remember, with Mark, and with Timothy, and many others. So not only he was dear to Paul, Paul also says that Epaphras is a faithful minister of Christ. Now, my understanding that this word minister here is not necessarily a pastor. A minister could be anyone who serves the Lord, a servant, or a minister to the needs of others in a congregation. And Epaphras was a faithful servant or a minister of Christ. Now, what a wonderful testimony is that. I'm sure the Hope BP Church has many dear and faithful ministers of Christ. Let me encourage you that your labor will not be in vain, because your labor, many people get to hear the gospel. And because of your labor, you make the work of your pastor lighter and easier to bear. So on this day of anniversary, I thank God for you, our dear and faithful ministers of Christ. Now finally, in verse 8, where Paul says, who, or Epaphras, also declare unto us your love in the Spirit. Now this is very important to know. You see, Epaphras had traveled over 1,000 miles to visit Paul in prison in Rome. While he was there, he shared with him, Paul, about the Colossian church. And yes, he shared with some problems at church, but he also shared with him the loving things which made Paul glad. And this is why Paul is giving thanks for the Colossians which he wrote to them. Paul knew that the gospel is at work in the church of Colossians because of their love in the Spirit. Now this love is produced by this Holy Spirit, a genuine, a true self-sacrificing love, a fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and a mark of a genuine faith. Once again, we learn that the gospel does not come to you in a vacuum. Everyone learns the gospel for someone. I, since young, I have traveled abroad with my parents. I have lived in a few countries and attended a few different churches. I lived and attended churches in Taiwan, Guam, Philippines, Saipan, and Japan. And almost no churches I've attended preached the true gospel of Jesus Christ, unfortunately. The gospel I heard was either a social gospel, or a humanistic gospel, or an ecumenical gospel. I remember when I was studying Japan, I was age 13, 14, and 15, I forgot. And my family attended a church in Tokyo, Japan, for almost 4 years. And as far as I could remember, I have never once heard the true gospel being presented. Instead, all you hear is a collection of interesting stories, anecdotes, and personal or third-party testimonies or experiences. It was highly entertaining to hear, but I have never once heard the pastor or the preacher touch on the subject of the doctrine of grace or true repentance or what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. It was not until my high school years I heard the gospel preached from a BP missionary in Saipan. And subsequently, I gave myself to God and came to Singapore, initially studying business, but a year later, I ended up in the Bible college. I am forever grateful, though, to the preacher who preached the gospel to me, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace. Likewise, the Colossians learned it from Epaphras, a beloved and faithful minister of Christ. And I am sure that the Colossians are extremely grateful to Epaphras as well. Now, how about you, my dear brethren? Who did you hear the gospel from? Now, who first shared the gospel with you? Now, whoever it was, thank God for those who shared the gospel with you, so that you could receive the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But now, in my closing remarks, I want to challenge you with these thoughts. Since you have heard the gospel from someone, who will you share the gospel with? The following is a part of Hassan Taylor's conversation with one of the new converts. His name is Ni. Hassan Taylor was a missionary sent to China in the mid-1800s, and the Lord has used him mightily in the works of the gospel. Now one day, Ni, the Chinese convert, unexpectedly raised a question to Taylor, and the pain of which he experienced was never forgotten by Taylor. How long have you had the gospel in England? The Chinese convert asked. The young missionary was ashamed to tell him and vaguely replied that it was several hundreds of years. What? Exclaimed Ni in astonishment. Several hundreds of years? Is it possible that you have known about Jesus for so long and only now have come to tell us? My father sought the truth for more than 20 years. And he continued sadly and died without finding it. Oh, why did you not come sooner? He said. Eventually, God used Taylor mightily in the work of the gospel and bring thousands of Chinese people to Christ. Now, toward the end of Taylor's life, he famously said, "If I had £1,000, China should have it. If I had 1,000 lives, China should have them." And he goes on to say, no, not China, but Christ. Can we do too much for him? How can we do enough for such a precious Savior? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us remember that it is not enough to receive the gospel and all its benefits. Let us also share the gospel with others so that they too may receive its benefits. Now you say, what can I do? Well, you may get involved either by a local mission or foreign missions, or perhaps you can join one of those mission trips in the future to Indonesia, to Batam, or to Cambodia. And to share the gospel with them. Meanwhile, pray that our non-Christian friends in our midst who have been attending our churches that one day they may see the light of the gospel. So on Hope BP Church's 34th anniversary, I want to thank God for the gospel together with you. Paul did, and so should we. Thank God for the life-changing, God-honoring, Jesus-exalting gospel of God, of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And I am speaking to the non-Christian friends who might be watching. The gospel has the power to change your life, both now and for all eternity. So call upon the name of Jesus today and receive Him as your Lord and personal Savior, if you haven't. So thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the work of the gospel in fellow believers. And thank God for the work of the gospel around the world. And last but not the least, thank God for those who share the gospel with you, so that we may also share the gospel with those who have not heard it. May God bless Hope BP Church in the furtherance of the gospel and in many years and decades to come. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O Lord, for this wonderful word of Yours. Thank Thee for reminding us, O Lord, that we ought to give thanks to God for the gospel. And thank God for the work of the gospel in fellow believers. Thank God for the work of the gospel around the world. We thank Thee for all the missionaries, evangelists, and pastors who are serving Thee and preaching Your word faithfully. Also thank Thee, O Lord, for those who have shared the gospel with us. And may we also share the gospel with those who have not heard the gospel. We pray that Your name may be magnified and glorified. We pray that You continue to bless Hope BP Church in the many years and decades to come, in the furtherance of the gospel and to the advancement of Your kingdom. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.